guess that would describe it.
Yeah, very much so.
It's a hot one. And I don't know if it's going that smooth, but I was sitting here, we've had nothing. I mean, nothing if not computer problems and mixer problems. And finally, Josh Olive came in and looked up and actually got us back going again. I don't know how. I have spent days trying to figure this thing out.
It's amazing you're not bald from pulling your hair out from this.
Oh, gosh.
Just as you get it, it says, nope.
I mean, I'd have it, and it would be going, and then the next thing it would fail again. So, and I'm just, let's see, okay. There it is, the real, genuine opening, you know. I kind of like the Santana thing, but kind of got to get something to get me in the mood.
Right.
Fishing report. When it's been raining all day, it's tough.
Yes, it is.
It's not like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to come around and everything is fine and it's peachy. And, I mean, you've almost got to go hiding under a bridge.
But a couple people pushed it today and had to come back in here and talk about their adventure out there today.
What was going on?
Because they thought that, okay, the rain's done, looked at the radar, said, all right, we're good for a couple hours. Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not.
Well, these storms, you can watch them developing, and then they dissipate, but something develops right in front of where that one was breaking down.
What I like, you know, there's times of the year you can go out on the harbor, and we get these rain clouds that develop, and they're not moving, really.
No.
They sit there, and they rain.
Yeah.
But it's in one spot.
Right.
And you can be out on the harbor and drive around between the rain.
You can reach out and touch it, literally, and not get wet except for your hand.
And my customers used to just freak out about that, because when it would happen, I would run them up with the boat right next to the storm, and I'd hold on to their arm. They could lean out a little bit, and literally we could get their hand wet, and they'd be dry, maybe a couple of drops, but it just, yeah. That boom. But you can see it hitting the water, because it looks like rain hitting the water. So you get the rough thing where the rain is, and then a smooth patch, and then a rough thing, and you're literally slaloming between all that.
Yeah,
it's one of the most awesome things you could do out of the water, because the weird part about it is the reason the storms aren't moving is there's no wind.
Yeah.
It's just straight down raining from a cloud, and then there's another cloud over there, straight down raining.
True definition of isolated thunderstorms.
Exactly. And because there's no wind, it's smooth and it's calm, and the boat's just sliding across the harbor. It's so cool.
It's picturesque, actually.
Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite things in the harbor. Really is.
Absolutely.
Let's see. A lot of talk up in the river about tarpon.
Yeah, there's been a lot of juvenile and sub-adult tarpon up there from, geez, I don't know, 761 bridge all the way down. And then the crazy part is a couple guys have actually hooked some pretty good-sized snook up there from the campground up to the 761 trestle in the middle of the canal while trying to target some of those tarpon.
They've hooked what?
Snook.
Really?
Yeah, a couple big snook up there. Because a lot of those guys are throwing swim baits trying to catch some of those tarpon, so some of them are letting them sink down and picking up a couple nice-sized snook. And then there's a lot more juvenile tarpon on the Shell Creek straightaway, all throughout that, you know, this side of the trestle and even all the way up to the spill dam itself. So it's been not too bad. A lot of water flowing out. I think that's pushing out some of those armored catfish, and a few tilapia and Mayan cichlids are getting broken loose a little bit.
All right. God, I can't find my cursor here. No wonder I couldn't fix this. I can't even find the cursor to get my next thing started. So, all right. I-75.
A lot of tarpon there. The same thing. Most of those fish are from 10 to 60 pounds. Early mornings, evenings are best. And then there's also been some nice black drum. And those bike drum have been ranging in size from 20 to 50 pounds. Guys are catching those on shrimp and crabs both. Another guy was in, he actually caught one on his fish bites that he's been experimenting with and trying that out. So, starting to hear a little bit more feedback on that stuff. Even though it's been around forever, it's just nice that guys are experimenting again with it. Catching a couple new species.
Well, one of the problems is frozen bait, as shrimp, ladyfish, a lot of the different frozen baits. You get a place that'll have them, and they won't have them for a while. And somebody else will get a little bit, and then nobody's got them. And, you know, everybody gets them a little bit, but it's so hard to find some of the baits in the summer.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a lot of commercial fishing going on. And it's one of the big reasons I'm not anti-commercial fishermen. I'm anti-unfairness. It's like, I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I am an independent. I'm anti-unfair. I don't care which party it is. And same goes with fishing. Commercial fishermen have a place in there. That's how we get fish in restaurants and bait and tackle shops and stuff like that. But they should not be allowed more or than what recreational anglers are. Fair is fair. Recreational anglers should be have the same. And what I'm talking about by catch is not like, okay, they got to only catch five fish. But if the recreational angler, if they say, okay, Florida can harvest 10,000 pounds of ladyfish, the recreational angler should get five, the commercial fisherman should get five. If you can harvest 20,000 pounds of grouper, there should be a recreational quota and a commercial quota equally split.
Right.
I'm all about fairness. I believe in middle of the road on most things because the truth very seldom lies all the way to the right, and for 2019, never on the left. But, you know, it's 50-50 on the right, but it's pretty much, you know, forget the left. So anyway, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has been doing pretty good. A lot of guys have been fishing there because of the weather, actually. Black Drum under the bridge and off of that new catwalk that they've got underneath there on the north end. And then there are a few snook, lots of juvenile tarpon in the early mornings and evenings, even with a few sub-adults in that 80 to 100 pound range. And then there has been an occasional ladyfish, and then I've actually heard of a couple trout being caught over there too this past week. So little mixed gamut of stuff going on over there. I wouldn't say it's gangbusters, but it's pretty consistent, which is quite nice. And they're pretty much catching everything over there. I'm mostly on shrimp, both live and frozen. A few guys are throwing some artificials and doing fair, mostly on the paddle tails. They're throwing the small 3 and 4 inch cowl. Shad tails is one of the real big ones right now over there.
And it's really weird with the cowl shad. It should not be doing so well at this time of year.
Right.
This is not the time of year I typically pick a cowl shad. And they're working.
Yeah.
The whole world's going crazy. It's lure warming, lure change.
Yeah.
It's lure change. I know it's happening. It's real. I can see it. Let's see. Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier's got some snook on it and a few small mangrove snapper and a couple of trout. But overall, it's been a little quiet this week, and I think it's mostly because it's so exposed to the elements. So I haven't had as many reports as normal there.
Okay, Bayshore Pier.
I got nothing.
Boy, there's a thing where history sure changed. Bayshore was the pier.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of people, because of the construction and not being able to get down to it from the north end, assume that it's all blocked off.
Well,
and then the first pier that's closest to us is closed still, but the middle one, which is the newest one, is open. But
what about all that construction they're doing on that new Allegiant thing down there?
They're just clearing out dirt mostly and bringing infill dirt.
No, they're burrowing big holes now for pilings.
Oh, pilings, okay.
Yeah, a lot of times what they do in Florida is they figured out that if they drill way down into the ground and then they dump a whole bunch of rock in there, and then a little bit of concrete, and then they put the pilings on that.
Okay.
They didn't run the pilings all the way down like they used to, because they'd have to run them down like 60, 80 feet.
Right.
So they literally just drill a big hole and they put fill in the bottom of it, and then to give it some base, okay, and put the pilings on top of there. But they're going way down to get that pilings anchored because they're trying to get the building foundation in.
Right.
I'm just wondering, there's a lot of thump thump. No, that either will bring in the fish or scare them the hell off.
No, that's true.
And there's no way to know. It all depends upon the intonation of what they're doing. Some things like that are very attractive to fish. It will bring them in from miles away, and that there'll just be tons of fish around the construction site. And another construction site, a different crane, different drill setup, different whatever, different materials, will scare the fish away for miles.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. That's pretty interesting, because, I mean, you hear about that with guys with their boats, with the harmonics on their boats.
Yeah, certain boats. Guys have, they go out and they have a boat, and they go out and they catch fish, especially in the Gulf of Mexico. And they do really well trolling. And they upgrade their boat to a different boat, and they don't catch fish like they used to.
Or they repower it. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. But I've seen that a couple times with the repowering part, and obviously I've definitely seen it with guys buying new boats and expanding it or whatever.
Well, getting a bigger boat that they can go further and go everywhere. But something about that one boat, the way the hull was designed, the way the motor's balanced with it, literally the noise would interest fish, and they would come to it. Mm-hmm. Problem is, I don't think there's ever been anybody who's like,
let's study this.
What you would have to do is go out there with, you know, recording equipment, you know, underwater and above water recording equipment, and record it and put it into a harmonics chart.
Right.
And, you know, because there's a couple guys who have been running the same boats for years on the marlin circuits and the sailfish circuits and stuff, because they've got a boat that works. And they just rebuild the engine and put the same engine, same parts, same props. They're very meticulous about keeping that boat exactly as it was.
Right. No, and I can see that. I've seen that and read about, like, that before.
Yeah.
Boaters are already superstitious.
We'll give you this boat to do your tournaments out of. No, I'm not doing it.
Nope.
I need my boat. Okay, Fort Charlotte Canals.
Those are doing still pretty decent. The majority of the fish have kind of moved more towards the mouths of the canals because the spillways have pretty much been consistently flowing, so they've slowed down a little bit. But snook, some jacks, still been a few little bull sharks being caught this week that I've heard about. Dr. Dave was in here earlier and actually showed me two that he caught off of his backyard.
Isn't Dave just amazing? And he's so close to retiring. He should be retired. He just doesn't want to retire.
No, he likes what he does. And it shows when you go in there and see him.
And, you know, I'm sitting there and I say, you know, do I have to do this? Why am I doing that? He says, well, we got to do this because of this. And he can explain it in a couple of seconds. You go, okay, I'll come down and get the test.
Right.
You know, and I don't mind, but there's very few real doctors left.
Yeah.
And I believe it's not even their fault. It's just, you know, in order for the insurance and yada-da-da-da-da-da and to get rich, they have to process so many patients a day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how Dave does it, balances out getting lots of people through and still talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty wild.
So, Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean's had a lot of juvenile tarpon around the actual...
It's Walk-In Medical Pavilion. That's the name of his place.
There you go.
Yeah, so, all right, Elder Bean again.
A lot of juvenile tarpon all around the bridge. That's mostly for the boat fishermen, but for the land-based guys, it's been black drum, a few snook, couple of small mangrove snapper, and some trout. It's been weird. I've had a lot of reports of trout this week, which is why...
Well, it's right on schedule. We've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now.
No, I know, but it's just funny how...
How it's still working. It's still the same as it's been. We have more trout in late summer than we do in the winter or the spring.
Correct.
And this pattern started 4 or 5 years ago. we know it's there because we do weekly reports, so we're always talking about the different fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure, but I actually went back on a couple of things and heard us talking about this years ago.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on? You know, we got more trout now than we did, you know, in January
when they should be here. Used to be here.
No sense.
No. Definitely, what is it? Their space-time continuum got screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, just showing up at arbitrary times. Let's just show up now and really mess with everybody. Well, it's been pretty interesting. You know, it's been a pretty good hodgepodge of reports on trout. It's kind of funny. And the areas where they're catching them at is funny.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I'm just
going to roll with it. It's easier.
But it's the only fish I agree with on the state closures.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
The redfish, I can't say for sure they're wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure. Because I believe I know what started it and nothing to do with the last name Red Tide. But with the trout, this has been 5-6 years of going downhill. They should have did this 2-3 years ago on the trout.
Right.
There is no reason to have done it on the snook. That is sheer social media pressure. Well, there's no snook, there's no snook. Oh, there's snook everywhere. They're listening to people who can't remember past one Facebook post.
Right.
And, you know, oh, I said that now, it's true. Well, I changed my mind 100, completely different now, because that's true now. Of course they're both true. It was true for 5 minutes, and now it's not true. And it won't be true, you know, it'll be true again in a little while.
Yeah.
That's the way life works, Buckies. You know? Okay, Miami River area.
Basically, there's been a lot of tarpon from the Elgin Beam Bridge all the way down to the mouth of the harbor. And those fish are varying in sizes from 30 to 80 pounds. And there's been still a handful of Spanish mackerel around, but they've really started to thin out. So, you know, if you're idling around looking for tarpon, it wouldn't hurt to be dragging a little spoon out the back or a small lure, but don't get too excited for it. And I haven't heard of anything over in the Cutoff or in Tippecanoe.
Yeah, I don't even know if it would be worthwhile going in there this time of year. I usually don't.
Mm-mm.
If I have a day with a very long and strong incoming tide, I'll go there.
Yeah.
But you got to have a long incoming tide. And I mean an 11-hour tide. A 5-6-hour tide ain't going to get it. But an 11-hour tide, that will bring it, that'll bring that area alive.
Yeah.
But it really takes an 11-hour tide because the water's got to wash in, go over to the east side, go all the way up the east side, deflect off Punta Gorda, go up, hit the mouth of the Miaka River, and have enough to kind of go in the back end of, because it won't go through the opening on the Miaka by the harbor side, but it will go down and come in on the side, on the Aljamain side of the Miaka Cutoff.
Right.
And that last, you know, that first section there coming in from the north, the Miaka Riverside, that first third will just go blue-green and all the bait goes nuts, all the fish goes nuts, but it takes a forever incoming tide.
Yeah.
Okay, South Gulf Cove.
I've got nothing over there this week. Crickets.
Yeah, that's because there's just really nobody there right now.
Well, there's a gentleman in here yesterday that bought a house finally there. He's been looking for the last 6 months, but he was actually at the meeting that we did in April.
Yeah.
And that's why he came in. He wanted to chat about some of the fishing out in that area in general. So he stopped in just to check out the place, finally, like, where he had enough time. And he was pretty excited about living out there now.
It's a nice area.
It is.
It's a little too far to get to the water for me, but a bunch of nice people. I mean, we met, what, 150, 60 of them that night?
Something like that. There was a lot.
It was a
surprising amount.
I've been there a couple of times. I think the smallest crowd I've had is like 120. But super, super nice folks in South Gulf Cove.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, from all the interactions I've had with them, I'm just literally, I would like to live there just because of the neighbors.
Right.
But the fishing in the canals, you know, I would go out there and dig a ditch. right from the rim canal out to the harbor just to let the fish go back and forth.
Right.
Not big enough for the boats, but just let the fish go back and forth. Get out there with a shovel, spend about a week. You know, you could really pick the fishing up with that. All right, the West Wall?
The West Wall on the southern part of the West Wall is mostly where the activity's been at. You got some ladyfish, jacks, and a few pompano in amongst the trough and up on top of the bar. And then you've got a few pompano, or a few pompanos you get further south that are just on top of the bar. And then the reds have all been concentrated mostly on the southern end of, up underneath the bushes. Guys are catching them on cut mullet, cut ladyfish, crabs if they can find them. And then, of course, some soft plastics, but they've also been catching a handful of them on really small spoons. You know, I heard of one fish over there, it was 32 inches. He caught it on an 8-ounce gold spoon, which he knows every year in summer, late summer, small spoons are best. And he proved that that was still at least a normal thing.
Well, the 8-ounce, even the 16-ounce crappie spoons and stuff like that.
Right.
It's just ridiculous how tiny a bait they go for at this time of year. And guys, like I was showing the guy, oh, those hooks will never hold. Well, you know, you can actually back your drag down a half a turn.
Yeah, you don't need 40 pounds of drag.
You don't need to lock them up. You can let the fish actually take some line out and play them for a little bit.
Imagine that.
No.
There's a concept.
When you get that fish on, you gotta grip it and rip it, buddy. I tell you what, you sit out there and I get that fish on, boy, he takes any line, I get mad as hell. I'm just gonna grab it, tear him back, and tear his butt right to the thing. Well, what do you mean the hook broke?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. K-Pays.
K-Pays has had a few Spanish mackerel around it because most of that rain has pushed a lot of that bait down that way. A handful of ladyfish, a few jacks, and then there's also been the pompano cruising along it, and then a handful of snook up along the shoreline with a couple of oddball redfish. I wouldn't say it's epic down there, but I think the tide has been playing a key role in how active it's been. You know, this whole week the water clarity changed significantly since last weekend.
Oh yeah, it's all brown now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you got a foot of visibility if you're lucky.
I didn't even check. Let me check here. I don't know if it'll come up from this icon. There it goes. All right. What do I do with the weather and tide button? Yep, there it is. Weather and tides. Peace River, the Arcadia one is the one I always use because I know what that one's supposed to be. Okay, 5,200.
Oh, really?
It's a foot and 3/4 above flood stage.
No kidding. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's cranking.
5,320 cubic feet per second. The average is 1,800.
That's cranking.
Yeah, we're more than twice.
And it's going to come up more in the next 2 days with all this rain we've had.
Yeah, it's still on the rise.
That's insane.
It's just under 13 foot. And flood stage is 11.
Is it 11 or 12?
11.
Okay.
It's got a red line here.
Oh, okay. Cheater.
I cheated. Yeah, there's a red line there.
I thought you were going by your pachyderm memory there.
No, there's a red line there. So, yeah.
That's a trip.
So, that explains why K-Pays is brown.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
It's actually brown out off of Boca.
I would have to say, when the Peace River's at 13 foot, that is going to be brown a ways out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely brown out because the girlfriend and I went out to that area. To the past to check out that re-nourishment thing, and it was already starting to get tan and colored a week and a half ago. So it's probably real nice and brown now.
Well, the flood stage for the Mayaca is 7 foot. It was a little over flood stage, but it's tenth of a foot below flood stage right now on the Maka, and it's 779 cubic feet per second.
Wow.
And what's weird is the most here was in 1957, and the most on the Peace River was in 1960.
Really?
Yeah, that shows you how far apart these rivers can be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird, because this is in 1957, 2,340 cubic feet per second, and in 1960, the Peace River is at 9,120 cubic feet per second.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that they could be
that drastic of a difference.
Well, one's 1960, and the other one's 1957. 3 years difference for maximum water flow on the same day.
Right.
So, that's crazy.
It is.
They're right there.
You know? Yeah.
But when you get up the river, it's the ones up by Bradenton?
Yeah.
The ones up by Bradenton, the other one goes up, you know, through Arcadia and up towards Orlando. So,
right.
They're on very different edges, but you would think any storm that would go over the Myakka would go to the Peace River, but it actually doesn't work that way.
That's what I was thinking in my mind, is it's got to cross there.
But the Peace River, or the Myakka River, goes up along the east side of the state, and the Peace River goes up through the center of the state.
Right.
Different environmental circumstances.
Yeah, makes more sense now, but still, in my mind, I'm thinking the headwaters kind of go towards the Peace River, so any rain going that way would still affect the Peace River, but obviously not that drastic. I mean, it's still going to affect it to a small degree, but not to the extreme.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Yes.
Okay. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
I haven't had much in Turtle Bay this week, but Bull Bay, I've had quite a few reports. Especially in the front between Turtle and Bull Bay. There's been a lot of snook there and up inside Bull Bay. And then the few pompano out front and even a couple inside. And then there's been a handful of redfish, especially more towards the back entrance out towards Wooden Bay of Bull Bay. You know, that's been pretty good. There has been a couple of small sharks in there, of a couple of black tips, small bull sharks, and a couple nurse sharks swimming around in there. And let's see, what else did he get? That's about it that I can remember that he told me about. No, wait a minute, he did get some trout inside in that deep trench right in the center, you know, that little 4 foot trough that goes through the center. He got a few trout drifting through there looking for ladyfish for bait. So it's not too bad. The weird part is just not hearing much in Turtle.
Yeah, well, they are. The reason they're so different is Turtle Bay, the water's got to come in through Bull Bay, but it comes out on that opening of Turtle Bay right by Cape Hayes.
Right.
But Bull Bay gets its water through the front opening of Bull Bay and the back side. You know, on Gasparilla Sound back there,
right.
There's that opening in the back of Bull Bay as well. So it's got two waters coming in, but with Turtle Bay, it traps that fresh water there. It's hard to push it out of
Turtle Bay. Gets caught there in that middle grounds between the two places.
It's why last year when Bull Bay was getting crushed with red tide, the fish were fine and alive in Turtle Bay because the fresh water couldn't get squeezed out that much because the water was going by the out front of it, trapping the water in it, basically.
Gotcha.
It's just a weird way the currents work there. Coming in from the front and the back, it traps that existing water in there and that incoming tide and pulls more water around from the harbor and it kind of fills more up. It's just a weird phenomenon.
Huh.
But with Bull Bay, the water's being pulled from Turtle out, but as it goes to push, you know, the water starts coming in from the Gulf side. It can't get the water out of Turtle Bay fast enough. It's just weird. But I think it has to do with the Cape Hayes sandbar where it comes out. It's trying to force the water into the mouth there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that water is coming down and being pushed into the mouth of Turtle Bay on the incoming tide and into Bull Bay. So that water gets squeezed and you don't get incoming tide doesn't put a lot of water there. the outgoing tide sucks a lot of water out, and it kind of fills up from whatever's in the harbor.
Okay.
It doesn't, the incoming tide doesn't fill Turtle Bay up. The outgoing tide does.
Right, because that's getting the harbor, the river harbor, and also Gulf Cove, all that area through there. It's sucking through all those mangrove shorelines and creeks that are inaccessible, but it's a huge swamp marsh all through behind there.
It's a crazy circumstance, but I've looked at it, tried to study it, tried to figure out how they could be right next to each other and environmentally so different.
Right.
And just looking where the sandbars are, the water flow, trying to picture what the water's doing there, and then being there in the boat and letting it drift to see what was happening. Yeah. And so I was my test dummy, you know, sitting in the boat just kind of,
let's watch this. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, all right, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Both of them have got some Spanish mackerel on them, a handful of tarpon, and kind of an assortment of smaller sharks. But it's either really hot or really cold for the shark part of it. You know, and I think a huge part of that is that tidal flow coming across there with all the fresh water coming in and out.
Yeah, if you're hitting them on an incoming tide, you're probably going to do pretty well. But if you're there on the outgoing tide, you're not going to do much.
Right. That's part that makes most sense.
Okay, Gasparilla Salmon and the Tailing Flats.
That's been really good through there. Basically, from the Three Sisters, you've got some trout, some snook, a handful of redfish. And then if you move straight across over into Whidden Bay area from, say, the top side of Cayo Palau up to Catfish Creek, all that expanse of flats from 2 feet to 4 feet of water. Trout, lots of reports of trout, a few ladyfish, a few Spanish mackerel. Lots of snook and some redfish up along the shoreline between Whidden Creek and Catfish Creek. And what else have I heard about? That's about it. There has been a couple of juvenile tarpon being spotted in there, but nobody's hooked any. They've just seen a couple oddballs roll here and there. Which I was trying to explain to a guy that sometimes those 5 and 6 footers come in there, but nobody really targets them because they're never ready for it because they're always looking for snook.
You need to get that sub-walk or whatever the thing is from Rapala, that's the one that's going to do it.
The subwalk, yep.
I don't know if it's a subwalk. It's like a subwalk, but it's not the smallest size. It's the next one up. And that thing catches those tarpon on the flats. It is the most consistent one I've ever seen.
See, isn't it that mullet? The twitching mullet?
It's not the mirror lure one, you know, not the rattle trap mirror looking one. It's that long one, and you walk the dog with it underwater. And it could very well be a subwalk, but I'm not going to say for positive.
Okay.
I know where it is on the wall.
Right.
It's right above the ones you're talking about.
Okay.
So it's just weird that
Skitter V?
No, the Skitter V is the top water. This one, you walk the dog just like a skitter V or a skitter walk or a Zara Spook, but it happens underwater.
All right.
So it's probably a sub walk, but the problem with the Rapala stuff is, you know, they give one lure a name and then the other lure that's a little bit bigger or something like that has a different name.
Yeah.
I'd have to go get it to tell you. I'm not going to go get it. All right. Placida, Gasparilla Pass.
Placida, the entire trestle system is holding out pretty good for some mangrove snapper, a handful of pompano, been some pretty darn good snook catches at night, along with an occasional big bull red, and then there has been some tarpon there periodically, mostly around the Causeway Bridge and the second bridge going out to Gasparilla Pass. So it's been pretty decent through there. You know, once again, the water's turning tan in through there, too, but you can still get quite a few fish to chew through that area.
Yeah, the Lemon Bay is getting quite a bit of brown water in it, too.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
All right, speaking of Lemon Bay, what do we got?
Lemon Bay, we've got some trout being caught up in there, especially closer to the Stump Pass area. Been a handful of bigger jacks. Some nice snook in and around the pass in Ski Alley and out right there through the pass itself. And then I've had a couple guys catch some little undersized gag grouper underneath some of the finger docks while looking for snook and redfish, which I haven't heard any reports of any redfish up in there, though.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I like catching those little gag grouper. They're a lot of fun.
And they're so pretty. They got such bold markings when they're really small, and especially when that tannin water starts to get in there even more so, they pop. Pretty cool. Still my favorite fish to catch in that dark brown water is a trout, because they change so drastically, like up there around your place this time of year.
Yeah.
They're so spectacular looking. Bright orange mouth, golden. I mean, they look like a German brown trout to me. They get that really cool, dark, brownish-orange color to them.
I think those are silver trout you're talking about.
Nope, they're speckled trout.
Speckled trout, okay.
Yeah.
How about the pier, Tom Adams Bridge Pier, the Anger Pier?
They're actually catching a handful of snook during the day under the bridge itself. And then at night, they're catching a lot more snook with some juvenile tarpon and a handful of ladyfish. The actual pier itself has been producing a few mangrove snapper and some ladyfish and a few Spanish mackerel. But overall, it's been a little quiet for a lot of good reports there. Just been the snook mostly. That's been the nighttime thing. But it's so buggy out there, I don't know if I'd want to go.
Really?
Oh my gosh. With all this rain we've had, the bugs are terrifying at my house even during the daytime, and you know how much they like me, so going out at night is just... Yeah. As much as I like going out there night fishing, it's... I've got to be really seriously committed to do it.
I can honestly tell you, I save a ton of money because I don't buy, you know, like insect repellent or anything if I'm going fishing with Robert. I just have to be within 5 or 6 feet of him. No matter how many bugs are out there, I don't get bit. They're all on him.
You know what's funny?
Hmm.
The girlfriend gets wrecked twice as bad as I do.
Really?
Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable. I'll be getting bothered a little bit. She's getting destroyed.
Finally, somebody takes some of the bugs from you.
She always used to say, oh no, they like me more. I'm thinking, no, I haven't met anybody yet. And sure enough, yep, she's right.
I feel bad for her.
I do.
I know what you go through.
Yeah, I do. I feel genuinely bad for her because she gets destroyed.
Okay.
But she's a glutton for punishment because she'll stand out there in the dock. I've got a mosquito suit and she will not put it on. I'm like, that's okay. Your body's way of telling you you're
dumb.
Don't
you have the head thing for her? Just a hood?
Yeah. Yeah. She won't put it on. She'd rather stand out there and swat and cuss and...
And don't take this wrong, ladies, but it might be a fairly feminine trait. I'm good. No, and the whole time, it's like a little happier when they're annoyed.
I guess, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm glad my wife don't listen to this show.
Right? She doesn't listen, the girlfriend doesn't listen to this one usually either. She does quite often, but not every time. The other shows, she listens to regularly.
Yeah.
Our Thursday show, she listens to that almost every time.
Yeah, the This Week in Fishing broadcast part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got some pretty cool shows up there.
Yeah.
We've got some really awesome stuff together. All right, Venice Jerry's.
Lots of big snook. The big snook at night have been unbelievable. And then in the daytime, mostly in the early morning, there's been some mackerel, some ladyfish, and a few pompano. Lots and lots of bait fish cruising through there, so, but the middle of the day bite's been very off, but that early morning bite and nighttime, definitely worth checking out. I had a guy catch a 45-inch snook up there he brought in a picture of. He was so excited. And then another guy, he got into a handful of pompano up there, so he was super excited because it was his first pompano, and then he caught, I think he said, 4 or 5 of them, and several other guys caught him out there. They were telling him about him, and he's like, I got to go try this, and he finally was successful because he'd been trying for 2 years to catch pompano up there. Finally got it.
What do you catch them on?
The little silly jigs, banana jigs.
Really?
Yep. He's always throwing shrimp. He's throwing the banana jigs. He said, I watch guys all around me catching them. He says, I've never been able to catch one. He said, I finally got one. I'm so excited. I cast out, and I got,
you
I
and
think
I
it was
both,
four.
Well, you and I both been through that, spending years waiting to hook a fish, watching everybody around you catching it, throwing the same stuff, doing the same things.
Yep.
You know, you try and tell people, well, you know, maybe it, you know, maybe the fish had moved on from that spot, or maybe you were just having a bit of bad luck that day.
Yep.
People don't realize luck plays a big thing. You throw, and if you threw and it's right behind the fish, they never saw it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you threw a quarter second earlier, it would have landed right in front of them, you would have hooked up immediately.
Well, it's like this week everyone was giving me a hard time about, oh my gosh, you had such a banner day and you're so lucky to catch all these tarpon that you catch. It's like, do you not remember the last 22 trips I told you where I didn't catch a thing? Not even a hit? No, I don't remember that part. Yeah, I had one good day out of 22 tarpon trips. One. And I made up for it, granted. Not going to argue that, but...
I get it.
22 total, and only one of those 22 were good.
Well,
it was actually excellent.
I told you, my average was... I would have, out of 10 trips, four that people would literally, the trip of their life, that they would never forget. And five of them that would be pretty darn good. And one was going to be horrible.
Yep.
I mean, that was just the way it was going to be. I mean, I was going to spend one day where I wasn't going to see a fish, couldn't buy a fish, you know, couldn't nothing. And I'd have those other days where every line I threw out, fish would jump on them.
Yeah.
But you're never going to, if you're doing better than that, be afraid.
Yes.
Be very afraid.
Yes.
Because your boat's going to blow up. Something bad is really going to happen at this point.
That spear of Poseidon's going to come down and sink whatever battleship you think you got going at this moment.
Yes, exactly.
Going to set you straight.
B-24. Oh, you sunk my battleship. Okay. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, that was a good movie, actually.
That was awesome, where they did the wave sensor things to try and do the aliens and shoot the missiles at them. You know, B-6, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they literally took it right from the board game.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right, reefs and wrecks.
Let's see.
Golfito, Mexico.
It's been a little quiet out there because of all these numbers.
Have you noticed how hard it is to get people to understand it's not the damn ocean?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I mean, every few years we get this group that comes down, and they're wonderfully nice people, but thick-headed, stubborn, world to the ocean. It's not the ocean. You can't think of it as an ocean and be successful with it.
Right.
If you're thinking the Gulf of Mexico is an ocean, you're never, ever going to understand the tides. You're not going to understand the fishing. You're not going to get it, and you're going to never be consistent or successful.
Right.
It's not an ocean, and there's so many vast differences, and I get, okay, it's a big body of water, but stand on Lake Michigan and tell me that doesn't look like an ocean when you're standing on the shoreline.
That looks a lot like an ocean.
Okay.
The Gulf of Mexico is so completely different. Okay. You know, it's crazy.
All right. So the fishing report for the Gulf of Mexico. Has anybody been nuts enough to go out there?
A couple people have, actually. About 15 miles, and then they've had to run back in. Some mangrove snapper, a couple of lane snapper, one cobia sighting. A couple guys have been catching some permit on some of those nearshore reefs. And there was one guy who actually ran out 28 miles. He left it early in the morning, got out there, had 2 hours of actual legitimate fishing time. He caught his two gag grouper and two red grouper.
How far out did he go?
28 miles. And then he had to come back in, but he said it was 4 to 5 foot swells with the occasional little bit bigger one. And he said with all the storms that were coming through, he just wasn't going to deal with it anymore and came back. But he had, you know, he had his limits for grouper. He was done. So... you know, can't argue that. He didn't catch any mangs. He saw some yellowtail coming up in his chum bag, but couldn't get him to chew.
Huh. Okay, Boca Grande Pass.
Oh, Spanish mackerel. There's so many Spanish mackerel cruising in and out of there. Lots of little bait fish everywhere. There's been a handful of bluefish, some ladyfish. There's been tarpon in there and a lot of snook. A couple of guys have talked about some big redfish that they're catching, but I have yet to see a picture of them yet. So
what?
Big redfish. You know, none of them have taken a picture with their phone to show me. So I know they should be there and usually show up early this time of year, but it's usually night fishermen that catch those. So I'm still a little skeptical on that one.
Yeah, well, somebody's trying to start, and it kind of goes along with what I say about people don't have a good sense of history. There was a redfish hatchery on Pine Island before.
Yeah, you and I have been there.
And they're saying, we want to start a redfish hatchery for the first time, be able to, you know, grow our own redfish and stuff. And I'm like, for the first time again, it's all new again. Jiminy crickets, pick up a book. I understand if you go on Google, you cannot find anything outside of what Google wants you to see,
sure,
which is going to be stuff for sale. You got to go through 20 pages of Google to get to any real information. Because as soon as you type something in Google, it's all the ads, people paying for it to be at the top of the Google thing. So you got to literally go back like 20 pages to find any kind of real information, because they are just the most invasive, god-awful people on the planet. And I get such a kick out of it. I saw a thing, Google privacy policy. And, you know, click here to be. And I'm like, hey, I'm not clicking anything on Google, because I use DuckDuckGo. They don't track you. They have their own private search engines. Pretty much all the other supposed different search engines, when you look close, they're all Google powered.
Really?
But DuckDuckGo is actually a independent search engine that does the same stuff as Google, but doesn't track everything you do. And if you don't believe me, and I know this is getting off topic, but go into Google, search for something, and then click on your Facebook page, and all of a sudden you'll see all the ads for what you search for there on Facebook.
Sure. And that's even if you have cookies and all that other stuff blocked
matter.
Out.
Google tracks everything you do. Now go on to DuckDuckGo. And it's spelled just D-U-C-K, D-U-C-K, go. And go on in there and search for anything you want. And if you did one on Google, you'll see the ads. Do 10 searches for something else on DuckDuckGo. And then go on any of your social media accounts and you won't see any ads for it. So, you know, but my basic point was, I guess people can't get good information because there's no... They use Google for a search engine. There is no way to find good information. You can only find what they want you to hear.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I shouldn't. And they're young, probably, so they don't even know what a frickin' book is. You know, so a history book? Oh, my God, no. Old magazines, then. They get a lot of pictures in old magazines. You should be able to do that.
Yeah.
All right, Captiva Pass.
There's been a lot of snook down there, some tarpon, a few Spanish mackerel, and a couple of small sharks. It's been pretty decent down there. Haven't heard of anything else right inside the pass. You get the other spots right inside there from Pine Island, I guess.
Yeah. 17th Street?
Nothing.
Usually have all these filled in, so I gotta click and copy and paste and
right.
That kind of stuff, so it takes me a second. Middle Beach
has got some pompano, handful of tiny whiting. One guy got 3 squirrel fish fishing from the beach out there. He brought in a picture. He's like, what are these? And I'm like, it's a squirrel fish. And he's like, I caught them fishing from the beach. I'm like, really? That was a little odd. I can't say I've ever seen one caught from the beach,
never.
Let alone a couple of them.
Never.
He said he had 3, but he just showed me the one picture of the one.
Definitely, well, if you got a picture of one, yeah, I believe you got 3.
Definitely squirrel fish. Like, wow, that's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird. All right, Ponarasa, Sanibel.
We got tarpon down there at the Sanibel Causeway. Quite a few snook there at night underneath the causeway. And then the St. James City and all around those docks at Ponderosa have really loaded up with some nice snook also. I think some of them have left the pass and starting to come back inside a little bit. I think that influx of fresh water has got them stirred up and looking around for some of the bait fish that's being pushed around.
Now, I don't know if I walked to school or carried my lunch, but I just spelled St. James City. Now, I understand I didn't capitalize the J, but even I know city is not S-I-T-Y. I'm leaving it. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, you would not believe how many of my posts on the fishing report end up on social media because of an inadvertent spelling error.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, they're not intentionally naughty.
H-T-E.
Well, yeah, that's the secret code, but no, it was something like...
I remember you showed me it.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it was actually pretty naughty.
Yeah.
It was just unintentional misspellings.
Well, they call it a Freudian slip.
Not really, because I don't really have a whole bunch of naughty thoughts, you know, especially not doing the fishing report.
Right.
So, you know, my age, I mean, if this was 20 years ago, I'd say, absolutely. No, probably not. Okay. Clusacci?
Nothing.
Okay, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's got a school of redfish down there, but they've been moving around quite a bit. They were down by the Indian Fields was the last place I heard about them. And then they've got quite a few juvenile tarpon moving around, especially at the mouths of those Cape Coral canals. And then off the Matt Lachey Bridge itself, they've been getting a handful of snook and a couple of trout again. I got a few guys reporting trout off of there. And then Dee said that she's got some friends that have been catching a few trout down in that area too. So it's not bad at all. Just haven't heard of any like individual redfish. It's just that one school that's kind of hopping around.
Well, and if you want to hear more about what Dee says, tune in to Fishy Radio. She's one of the hosts on there. She's a commercial fisher person on Fishy Radio, which you'll find on the same page here. Okay, pink highlighted. Four girls. Okay, I highlighted in pink. They don't really like it, but I did it. So, Pine Island Sound.
It's an attention getter.
Well, I got all of them done in different colors, so you can literally tell which ones are which.
Yeah, well, it's like anything else we do on there. It's easier to have it color-coded.
Yeah, so Pine Island Sound?
Pine Island Sound has got a lot of individual tarpon cruising around through it, especially closer to the ICW in that 6 to 10 feet of water, along with some Spanish mackerel, a handful of ladyfish, a couple of jacks, and then down towards Captiva Rocks and the shacks down there along the bushes and the shoreline, they've been getting some nice snook and a few redfish. I've heard that there's another school of redfish down there, but I haven't heard about that school since last Saturday. It was the last report I had on it, so they either disappeared, moved to Matt Lachey, or everyone's being very, very quiet about them.
I'd say very quiet.
That would be my guess.
Very few of the charter boat captains are actually smart enough to keep their mouth shut. But if there is a handful who will, and I'd say that's who's doing it.
Yeah, they're usually the ones that get to play with them for the first week to 2 weeks.
Well, it's just like me. I'd get on a school of fish, and every time I did a charter, I'd swing in there and spend 45 minutes, an hour, catch a bunch of fish, let the bite slow off, and then move on to another spot. And it would work great. I could go in there for days, weeks catching fish until another charter boat captain would come in there. And instead of coming in and catching a few fish and moving on, they would spend their entire 4 or 6 hour charter there catching
it's
fish.
It's going to turn back on as soon as this tide changes.
Destroy the spot. I mean, the fish would just get tired of being harassed and move on.
Yeah.
And it's just, how dumb can you get? You can't stay there day after day and expect it to last. Well, it's just going to be here because they're going to move anyway. Yeah, right. Well, I've been fishing them for 4 weeks now for an hour a day or 40 minutes. And
haven't had a problem
weeks,
yet.
Haven't had a problem yet. Always been fish there. And how come you've been sitting here for a week and there's no fish here anymore? Because you did it for 4 to 6 hours a day, you idiot. Okay. Jug Creek Shoals. Boquilla.
Boquilla, I've got some snook on it, a handful of redfish, and then if you move out to the more open water, there has been a few pompano and Spanish mackerel. You know, the pompano have been hanging out around those two big sand islands, sandbars, whatever you want to call them. And then the Spanish have just been out in the perimeter in that deeper water. Overall, haven't heard anything over at Jug Creek, though.
All right, burnt store, two pines.
Trout there again, but the trout are on the outside of the bar. They're not on the inside in the trough where they normally would be for most people. And then a whole lot of snook and some singles and double redfish cruising all on the shoreline. And then there's been a handful of ladyfish and some individual tarpon cruising up and down on the outside of the bar in that 4 to 6 feet of water. There's also been a small group of manatees down there, so kind of keep an eye out for them. I've had several people talk about the manatees that have been hanging out down there about a mile south of the bar, or the burnt store channel, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going along there one day and learned how fast the manatees are. They're about 80 feet off the bar out in fairly deep water. And I was about three quarters of the way, a good 50, 60 feet away from them, just off the sandbar, and cruising through there with my boat. And I saw them and I said, okay, I'm way away from them. Well, something scared them, and they decided to run to the sandbar. And those things go like 30 miles an hour, easy, when they get scared.
Yeah, on a short burst, absolutely.
I mean, 30, 40 miles an hour. I mean, they went from way over there to right in front of the boat in, I mean, a matter of a second or two.
Yeah.
All I could do was hit the throttle down and, you know, start trimming the motor and pull back to neutral and hope I didn't, you know, do any damage, and I didn't feel any bump or anything, but I was like, jiminy crickets.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think they subscribe to that old Korean, you know, religion where if you run in front of a moving vehicle, it cuts off the bad spirits from behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
No other creature could be that stupid.
A squirrel.
A squirrel, yeah.
A squirrel.
Yeah, they got manatees,
chipmunks, and
squirrels. You know, stuff that darts and is going off the road, then turns and runs right back in front of you.
They're both vegetarian mammals.
Yeah, well. I mean, squirrels, I get it. You are what you eat. They eat nuts.
Right.
You know?
No doubt.
But with the manatees, I don't get why they're so stupid. Crickets.
I don't know either.
Here's the noise over there. Let's run in front of it. That's what scared me. I'm going to just kill
Yeah.
Nah, let's run away.
Yeah.
Alright, east side.
East side has got a lot of small snook on it, a handful of redfish, and some mixed trout. You know, the trout have been on top of the bar on the outside in that 3 to 5 feet of water. And then I've had a few miscellaneous reports of some singles and double tarpon also cruising out there on the outside of the bar. And guys have been skipping a few pompano, but haven't been hooking very many, but they are seeing some, so keep an eye out and be ready for them. You know, it's definitely fishable for them, which is, that's another one that's been showing up a lot in the summertime, you know, late summer like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed it that one year when we went out with Danny several years ago, because that was like August or September when we did that one trip with him.
Yeah.
And we skipped a whole bunch of them on that burnt store bar, and it was brown water. I remember that.
That was the one where Shimano had just redesigned that.
Yes.
This, not the Stratic, but the Symmetry.
Symmetry, yeah.
And it ended up destroying my finger. I couldn't move my finger for like a week because I was fishing with the Symmetry reel. And they bent it, but they bent it so small, as I was casting, it almost broke my ring finger.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally horribly painful to fish with.
And you don't have giant hands, you know?
Well,
I mean,
thanks, but, you know.
Well. Well, I'm just saying,
yes, I do.
Your hands are pretty much average for your height. You know, you don't have boxing gloves or anything like that. I mean, look at Chandler. I mean, he's got lunch boxes for hands.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not 9 feet tall, you know.
But it's still, you're right, because it was bent, just not enough room. I mean, it was made for like a small child.
Maybe. It was is just a horrible design on the reel. And they were trying to get us to buy more of their product, having Danny take us out. The Shimano guy was there in a boat, and I'm trying to be nice, and literally I had to quit fishing part of the way through the day because the only way I could fish is to hold the rod in front of the reel and grab the line there and cast. I couldn't hold it by the reel the way you were supposed to, and it was tough.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't buy a lot of the reels. I have to look at somebody and go, is your hand smaller than mine?
Yes, exactly.
You don't want that reel if it is. Okay. Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, honestly, I haven't gotten any reports in there. Been pretty quiet, unfortunately, there.
Ponce de Leon.
Some black drum, a handful of spadefish. Let's see, jacks. Been a lot of mullet going through there the last couple of weeks. I've had a lot of guys talking about all the mullet they're seeing cruising through there, and stuff's spooking it, which I think most of it's getting spooked itself, but there's those few stud snook and jacks that'll definitely pop one off here and there. But the amount of mullet going through there is pretty impressive. And from what I've been told, I think they're done with about 98% of the seawalls in there, so a lot of the barges are starting to move out of there. That might have something to do with some of the mullet moving around inside there because there's less construction and maybe still dealing with some of the sediment.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with the mullet.
Okay.
I'll grant you the sediment and the digging and, very enticing for mullet, but, I don't think the barges working or not working make those schools come in or go out. PGI is so expansive.
Right.
There's something's going on.
Yeah.
Are they going in or coming out?
Both.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no clue then. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is a construction. The truth of the matter is, that is as viable answer as anything I can tell you.
Yeah. It's the only thing that kind of comes to thought that's different going on there.
Yeah, so, all right, PGI canals.
And lots of mullet. Some decent jacks. Still quite a few big snook being caught back in there. A handful of sand bream being caught this week. I've had several people from PGI come in and talk about some of the sand bream they're catching back in there. And then the juvenile tarpon and lots of big black drums still being caught. I mean, some incredible numbers and sizes of black drum. One guy showed me a picture and that fish was, I don't know, I'd be hard pressed to say if it was smaller than 60 pounds. It's one of the biggest black drum I've seen probably in 20, 25 years.
Well, people are catching a lot of them, but they don't keep them.
Yeah, no, this guy fully let it go too, but it was giant. And it was hard to get a really good perspective on it because he still had it in the water, but he was on his dock. It was one of those high tides last week when it was coming over the seawalls here in Port Charlotte.
Right.
He was laying on his dock next to it, holding it in the water sideways. And this fish was well over 4 foot. It was, counting his boards.
It could go up, I think.
It was.
They get close to 80, around 80 pounds.
World record is like 114 or 119.
Yeah, why wouldn't 80 pounds? That would be very, very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, it would be. It's just, it's probably the biggest one I've either ever seen or been seen in 20-plus years. Kind of different.
Yeah, that's cool. Josh gave me a 1955 wheat penny.
Nice.
It's worth 3 cents.
Yeah. Still cool, though.
But so is a 1980 penny. They're all worth 3 cents. They have no value.
Right.
I just like them because I like wheat pennies.
Yeah, they're neat.
Yeah, I actually have hundreds of them. I just enjoy wheat pennies, so.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
It's funny, I like wheat pennies, and I like the half dollars or dollar ones. Even the ones with the copper in them, I just think the feel of the coin. I liked working in Europe before the euros were there.
Yeah.
Because the German mark coins and stuff, you could have big coins, and, they were just very cool coins.
Yeah.
And something about the old Kennedy half dollars and the dollar coins and all that, it just felt good.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of like, there's a few guns you pick up, and they just feel so good. Yeah. Something about the wood and the metal and the same thing every once in a while with some coins.
Yeah. You know? For me, it's when I go to vacation down there in Costa Rica, because they got such big coins and most of them are heavy coins. They only have a couple that are that, they feel like a piece of aluminum, but most of them are super heavy. So it's kind of that, it's maybe it's a little bit of that nostalgic thing when I was a little kid, because I'd get a 50-cent piece from the Tooth Fairy or for my grandma for my birthday or something like that. So it's just something about that weight in your hand and that just knowing that it's a coin, it's just kind of cool.
Yeah, there's not a lot that really does that, but some coins and some guns. Not all guns, but there are a few that are just pretty awesome. And, okay, another crisis averted. Gilcrest Pier,
a couple of jacks, and actually a couple of snook right along the seawall. I got one that was about 28 inches. It was his first snook, so he was super proud of it. He bought a Twitch stick from you last week.
Yeah.
But he rides his bike over there all the time, so he vowed to stop and try to fish one day, and he stopped and threw that Twitch stick and got that little snook.
Isn't it amazing? Somebody wants to catch a snook, you just, it's, okay, here you go. It just allows people who, as long as you can throw it out and reel it in, you can probably catch a snook.
He said he was going to email it to you because he was super excited because it was his first snook. And it was a legal fish if it would have been in season. I mean, it was 28 inches.
Okay.
Not bad.
No, that's awesome. Alligator Creek Reef.
I got nothing. Unfortunately, nothing out there. Most guys are chasing tarpon across there, but not catching any on it.
Deep holes in the harbor.
Lots of tarpon. Tarpon are peppered throughout the entire center of the harbor, including over to both the west wall and the east wall. But your better concentrations are the holes. There's also been a few catfish and a few Spanish mackerel mixed in with them. You know what the weird part is? I'm used to usually hearing guys catching cobia as bycatch while they're doing this out there, and I haven't heard of a single cobia yet.
No, I haven't either. Freshwater.
Freshwater, it's been pretty quiet. A lot of guys buying shiners and minnows, but I haven't had any good reports. And I don't understand that, but we sold out of minnows already. Minnows were sold out this morning when I got in here at 9:30. And that was 2 pounds, I think, I got from the guy the other day. So that's quite a bit of minnows.
For this time of year, that's a lot of minnows.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, let's see if I can find our maps. Wrong one.
It's one of those. There's too many files.
Yeah. There it is. Okay. Almost ready.
It's a tarpon map.
Yep, tarpon map, red dots.
All the 20-foot holes, mouth of the Mayaca. That was a good one.
Yeah, I'm choking. Okay.
And then out through the, even into Boca Grande Pass, I would probably still give red dots. They're not super concentrated, but definitely fishable numbers there and catchable numbers.
Okay.
And then I would say the 50-50 I'm going to go with along the intercoastal, especially down there at Captiva, Pine Island, in that area, and along the beaches.
All right. I'm doing yellow dots up through the intercoastal.
Yellow dots.
All the way to Boca?
Yeah.
What about in Captiva?
In the pass itself, yeah.
Red or yellow?
I've had good reports of people seeing them, but not hooking them in the pass. Okay. They've all been right on the inside.
Now, along the beaches from Ponarasa all the way up to?
No, most of the ones I've been hearing about have been Captiva up to Little Gasparilla.
Okay.
And it's been so wavy that only a few guys have been catching them, but they've been hooking a few and seeing a few. So definitely, if it lays down, I think they'll see more.
All right, what, on the east side of the harbor on the sandbar?
Yeah.
I'm going to start down by Two Pines and then go up kind of close to Pirate Harbor up there. What about the west side?
Same thing.
South End?
Yeah. Yeah, up to that, what's that, that tide marker or range marker? Right up to there.
Okay. And then doing a couple, I'm going to do two yellow dots and a red dot up on the river.
Okay, yeah.
And anywhere else where I should do anything?
Up by El Joe Bean, up by the pier.
Red or yellow?
Yellow.
Okay. Now that's a lot of dots.
Yeah.
Let's save as.
Yeah, Richie went 2 for 6 this morning. He went 3 for 6 yesterday. Carl went 2 for 6 or 2 for 8 yesterday. And I didn't hear back from Carl yet today to see how he did. He might have got rained out. He was taking Barry's friends' kids out fishing, and they wanted to try to catch a tarpon, but he was also going to go try to catch them some big black drum. So I'm sure they at least probably were successful with that in between the storms.
Well, it's always good if you're going to go on a charter, especially for something like tarpon, to give the captain an option. We're going to, let's do tarpon, but if that's not going to work out, let's do this. Have plan A and plan B. You're going to spend a lot of money for this trip. You know, have a backup plan. It just makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, especially with tarpon, because there's days where, hey, you know what? I've got you scheduled for this time, and this is what your time frame is, but the first 2 hours, probably not going to work out very well, so you want to go play with something else? We'll do our best for the last 2 or 3 hours with your time schedule. We'll roll with it.
Come on, you can do this machine. It's thinking about something, but I don't know what. Oh, there it goes.
That's been my internet for the last 2 days at the house.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hardly do much. And I thought, well, because I'm using one company who it's not as fast as the other one, but it's actually more reliable. It's steadier. But... And I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is just, switch to the faster one, and put up with it. But I've got that company at the house and one company here. And to tell you the truth, they both suck.
Yep.
One's not any better than the other.
Nope.
I don't...
Both have their pros and cons.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I wish I had a better answer, Oh, gee, this is the company I'd go with because they're great. Now they both have excellent people in the field, and they both have lousy people in the office and horrible corporate policies.
Yes.
So, nothing I can do for them there. Okay. All right, fishing report is up and loaded. Anything you can think of that we should be saying?
No, just... Enjoy it. A lot of neat, pretty good fishing out there.
Well, that was an hour and 26 minutes worth of your day you're never going to get back.
Nice way to put it.
Actually, no, it's an hour and 13 minutes.
Okay,
hour and 13. So that makes it better.
Well, that's all better.
Yeah, hey, that works.
Isn't that the most valued commodity in the world?
Yeah, well, it all gets sucked into a computer somewhere. So, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me. We're still here, at least for today. I don't think we're going out of business. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Right?
You never know. I've been figuring I'm going to go out of business for 33 years. So.
Still proving them wrong.
I'm just proving myself wrong. I keep thinking it's going to stop, but it keeps going. Somebody said, what would you do if you didn't have Fish and Franks? I said, gee, I work 40 hours a week. It'd be like being retired.
Right.
Can you imagine being able to go to a job 5 days a week, 8 hours a day?
Right.
Have a half hour off for lunch? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Okay, this will be great. Be your own owner. You have all this to do.
Uh-huh.
Right. Sure. Who are they kidding?
These guys come to work 9 hours, and they're like, really? That's like a day off.
Right?
And the only thing is, I will say, our jobs are a little better than most
people. Oh, yes.
So.
Absolutely. The people still make it so worthwhile.
98% of the time, I look forward to coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are those days where I would sell this place for $5 and a bus ticket out of here, but
yep,
not most of the time. Anyway, boys and girls, we will catch you on the next fishing report. And sorry we couldn't get one up, but, you know, when the equipment don't work, the equipment don't work. So, bye. Thanks, Josh, for fixing our toys.